There's a lot of things going on in the body of our church right now. There's a lot of people hurting. A lot of people are hurting in a lot of different ways. There's health issues, and there's let's just say I've fielded a number of phone calls this week. Put it that way. And there's a lot of emotions at play. I think we need to have a word of prayer. Lord God, you know each and every person here, each and every family here, each and every situation here. And Father, there's a lot of pain here. There's a lot of uncertainty here. I would venture to say, Lord, there's a lot of fear here at times. Afraid of what might happen, what might not happen. Father, help us to focus on you. Help us to build one another up. Help us to be there for one another. May we be constant in prayer for one another. May we be sensitive to one another. And most of all, Lord, may us all be sensitive to you in how you are working, in how you are moving in our hearts, in our minds, in our emotions. And Father, may you indeed show yourself this day to be the God of peace and comfort, the God of provision, protection. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Actually, kind of an appropriate scripture today. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 is a very familiar passage of scripture to most of us, I would say. It's the account of Jesus facing off with Satan in the wilderness. You've all probably heard this or been taught it. You know, it gets taught in Sunday school, gets preached on in church. I mean, it's a very common passage. Yet it's a very powerful passage. I think in the process of preparing for this, I think I had five messages. I mean, seriously, there's a lot of ways you could go with this. And I trust that the Lord led me in the way that this body needs today. Jesus has just gotten baptized. As we saw in chapter 3, John the Baptist was preaching and repentance, and he was, you know, just going toe-to-toe with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And then he points the way to Jesus. And then here comes Jesus. And John acknowledges that he's not worthy to baptize Jesus, but Jesus says, no, you need to do this. And he did. And then that powerful scene where Jesus comes out of the water and the Holy Spirit comes down upon him, and the Father speaks out and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And last week we talked about what that meant, that 17th verse about that we are His children, we are loved, and He is pleased to do a work in us. And we talked about that and what a great moment that was. But you know, just like with Jesus in this account, I mean, you know, it's really kind of a shame that there's a chapter break there, because immediately Jesus goes into the wilderness to face Satan himself. And he goes, you know, through these things that we're going to look at today. But you know, that is true in our lives. How many times have you had a great experience with God? You know, maybe you had a breakthrough in something, or you've been praying and there's a victory, or you know, maybe God had called you to do something, you weren't sure about it, and you went ahead and did it anyway in faith, and it worked out. You're all excited. Then the next day, what happens? I mean, you get floored. You get hammered. You were on the mountain one day, and now you're in the valley of the shadow of death. That's how Satan does. He doesn't want to see us victorious. He doesn't want to see us praising God for the victories. You know, he wants to bring us down. And what I want you to see today, I mean, the title is Identity, Anointing, and Your Destiny. You know, God has a destiny in mind for you. And the Satan will do anything he can to keep you from it. And it starts with your identity. It starts with who you are in Christ. Are you a child of the King? I hope so. Do you remember it? Well, we talked about that last week. But Satan has a plan of attack, and he did it on Jesus. And you know what? He doesn't deviate much. He does the same things in your life, in my life. And so we need to learn from this. So let's see what we can learn. In verses 1 and 2, we see that Satan tempts our being through our weakness. Or if you're like me, weaknesses. Okay? But he tempts our whole being. Okay? All of us. What do you mean by that? Well, we're going to be talking about, you know, what we are made up of. And what are we? We are spirit, soul, and flesh. And he tempts us in all three ways. And that's what this passage illustrates today. So we're going to look at 1 and 2. He tempts us through our weakness. And it says, then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now think about this. You know, we say all the time, you know, God is not a tempter. And this is true. God does not tempt, but Satan does. Isn't it interesting that the Spirit led Jesus, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted, to be confronted by the devil? He was led into that. Listen, sometimes God leads us into adversity to teach us something, to show us something, to test us, or to purge us, to sanctify us, to ready us for the future. You know, David, how did David have the strength to face Goliath? Well, David himself told us, he said, you know what? The reason I can face this guy is because I once had to fight a lion and a bear. And God delivered me out of the hand of, or out of the paw of the lion and the bear, and He will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. So sometimes God leads us to the lion and the bear, that we would be purged of the things that would keep us from achieving our destiny, the things that would hold us back from God using us and working through us to impact other people and the world for the kingdom of God. He's led into a confrontation with Satan himself. Now, praise the Lord, I don't think I have ever been confronted with Satan himself. I don't think I'm that big of a wheel in God's clockwork that Satan himself would be concerned with me. But Satan has no shortage of his demons. And God allows us to be in confrontation with the world, with the Satan, with our own flesh that pulls against us, that we would be tried and purged, that we could end up being who He wants us to be and do the things He wants us to do. He goes after our whole being through our weakness. Look at this in verse 2. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungry. No kidding. But what happens when you fast? It makes you weaker. You're weak physically. And you know, listen, Satan doesn't attack you when you're strong, folks. And he doesn't attack your strength. He attacks the area you got a problem with. And he knows the areas you have a problem with because, you know what? He watches you. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. You start living with someone when you get married and you start living with them and you see them every day, you start finding out what their weaknesses are pretty quick, don't you? You know, that whole time you were dating, everybody just acts like they got it all together. Right? But then when you start living together, hello, who is this person? We start finding out. Well, Satan just watches you. He knows if you got a problem with alcohol or drugs. He knows where your weaknesses are. And that's where he goes. You know, Satan does not attack me in areas of alcohol. I don't have a problem with it. Why would he attack me there? He knows that's not an issue with me. But are there areas where there's an issue? You better believe it. If you want to know what they are, ask my wife. But that's where he pushes the buttons. And you know, when you're really on fire for God and you're serving and you're trying to do what's right and you're reading your word, usually he can't get through. But you know what? Sometimes I get busy. And I start neglecting the word a little bit. Or I start neglecting my prayer a little bit. Or I start neglecting my time with God a little bit. And then that's when Satan moves in. He doesn't do it while you're all right there. He watches. He waits. Then he comes. He goes after your weakness. And he goes after all of you, folks. Your whole being, spirit, soul, and flesh. He goes after it all. And we're going to see this here in the following verses. In 3 and 4, we see, first of all, Satan tempts our flesh through our wants or our desires or our appetite. What do you have an appetite for? And that's where he goes. And look at this, verses 3 and 4. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He tempts our flesh through our wants. In this case, Jesus was hungry 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness, weakened, needs food. And look what Satan does. Remember what happened in verse 17? God said what? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And what does Satan challenge Christ with right off the bat in verse 3? "If you be the Son of God." He's challenging his identity right off the bat. If you're the Son of God, you know, Jesus, if you're who you say you are, then command these stones to be made bread. Take care of your desire. You know, what's the big problem in our culture today? Instant gratification. You know, Not going to wait for God's timing that he should eat. No, go ahead. You got the power. If you're the Son of God, go ahead and make bread right now out of these rocks and feed yourself right now. You need it now. And that's what Satan does with every one of us. Where's that weakness in your flesh? Those desires that we have. And look, it's not necessarily sinful desires, folks. Is eating a sin? I mean, everybody's got to eat. Now, sometimes we eat a little too much. But the point is, eating of itself is not a sin. Unless God tells you not to. We're to be submitted to God, not to our own flesh. What did Jesus say? Deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. And that's where Satan, he gets us in our appetite. What do you have an appetite for? Whatever it may be. Is it consuming you? Satan will use that against you. Food. Power, prestige, instant gratification apart from God's will. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to be out of step with God. And he says, you know what? If you're the Son of God, challenge him in his identity. But Jesus answered, no, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. So there's a time to set aside the fleshly desires. You know, you can fast from other things than food. I think in our culture, we need to fast from electronics. Ooh, a rumble goes through the crowd. I dare you, turn your phone off for 24 hours and see if you live. Turn all those computers off. Leave your TV off. Leave all your electronics off for 24 hours and just see if you can survive. You can, believe it or not. You really can. It has an off button. Maybe we need to fast from that and get with God. You know, and I'm speaking to myself. I'm on the phone a lot. I'm on the computer a lot, doing the things I got to do. And sometimes I don't know if it's God rebuking me or me just rebuking myself. Did I spend that much time in the Word today? Did I spend that much time in prayer today? I mean, really, what is priority in my life? I think that's a question we could all ask. He tempts us through our weakness, our whole being, and he starts with our flesh, because that's the easy part. We succumb to the flesh pretty easy. And he goes after us. And you know what? Many of us fall. Many of us fall because of that. He tempts our flesh through our wants, through our appetite. We're to deny ourselves. That's why Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. The flesh wants all kinds of stuff. It wants things its way. And Jesus said, deny yourself. That's the first thing you got to do if you want to follow Jesus. You got to deny yourself. Secondly, or third, yes, he tempts our soul through our will. He tempts our soul through our will. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, Jerusalem, and he set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, Here he goes again, right? Question the identity. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written. See, Jesus answered him with Scripture, the first one, right? So listen, the devil's not going to take that lion down. Okay? So he turns around and gives Scripture back. This is Psalm 91. He turns around and brings Scripture right back to Jesus. Out of context, which is, that's what Satan does. And he says, it is written. See, now Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now Satan is saying, it is written. He shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He tempts our soul through our will. Okay? Remember what soul is. Okay, the flesh. Okay, the body has appetites. If it feels good, do it. That's an appeal of the world to our flesh. Okay? But the soul, that is your intellect, it is your will, and it's your emotions. That is your soul. It's your intellect, your will, and your emotions. And he's attacking through his will. Okay? Look what he says. Cast yourself down. He took him, it is thought that he took him to what is called Herod's Pinnacle. Okay, the Temple of Jerusalem at that time was built by King Herod. It took him like 30 years to build this thing. Apparently it was a magnificent structure. And there was one part, the highest part of this temple, overlooked the Kidron Valley. And it was 450 feet down to that valley. And it's thought that that's probably where Satan took Jesus, to this pinnacle. And there's all these people there at the temple. And wouldn't that be a great place to start your ministry? Remember, Jesus is just now starting his ministry. He hasn't done anything yet. He went and got baptized. Now he's in the wilderness. And we know what happens in chapter 5. And actually, next week when we talk about the rest of chapter 4, Jesus begins his ministry. He's going to go, well, what better way than jump off this thing and watch God save him in front of all these people at the temple? Whoa, this guy's the Son of God, man. Wow, we're going to follow him. What better way? Again, to have an instant following. Instant gratification. Hey, Jesus, start your ministry off with a bang, man. But how did Jesus do it? One guy at a time. Hey, Peter, come follow me. Andrew, come follow me. Matthew, come follow me. Wasn't no instant anything with Jesus. Satan was tempting Jesus to do things his way rather than God's way. And do you understand that's what Satan does with every one of us? He doesn't want you to do it God's way. God's ways take effort. God's ways take discipline and diligence, submission and self-denial and sacrifice. That's God's ways. But the rewards are great. The fruit is awesome. See, this is your anointing. Jesus was anointed. Remember, the Holy Spirit came and anointed him. Do you understand? You have an anointing. We talked about it last week. We all have an anointing. There's something God wants to do through you. And your anointing should direct your will, not the other way around. Your calling should direct your will. I tell people, I say, you know, when I teach the parenting classes, one of the things I teach about is finances. And I ask them, I say, you need to make a plan. Where are you going to be in 5 years? Do you want to be where you're at right now in 5 years or worse? Or do you want to be somewhere? Do you have a goal? Do you have a plan? And then when you have that plan, All your decisions flow through that plan. When you have a calling, when you have an anointing, all your decisions should go through that. So they say, hey, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to be this or that. That, you know, you feel like God has led you to this vocation or whatever, and you believe that. Well, then when someone else says, hey, why don't you take a couple months? You're out of school now. You know, before you go to school, why don't you come with me and we'll go see the country? Well, does that fit into your plan? Does that fit into your calling, your anointing? Is that going to help you get there? And if not, then through your will, you will say, no, you know, I'd love to do it, but, you know, my flesh, right? My flesh would love to go do that. But I'm not, because I have a calling. It's through your will. Listen, Satan can persuade you, but he can't push you. He had Jesus on the top of that pinnacle. And all he would have had to done was just go. But he couldn't do it. Do you understand? Satan has no power. You only, if you are born again, if you have the Holy Spirit, Satan cannot control you. What he does, he works on you to get you to decide to do the things that you do. All he can do is persuade you. He can't push you. You know, Flip Wilson lied. Some of you know what that is. Younger people are like, who? Flip Wilson? What? He had a TV show, Ancient History, 70s, I believe. And he would say, the devil made me do it. Every time he did, you know, whatever, he'd already have a skit. And he did wrong, but he'd go, the devil made me do it. Listen, the devil cannot make you do anything. What the devil does, he deceives you into thinking it's a good idea. And then you choose to do it. And that's why you got to be in the Word of God so you can recognize a good idea from a bad idea. And you got to know your anointing. You got to know your calling so that when the other thing comes in, you go, no, that's not getting me to where God wants me. And you go there. Where does God want you? And if you don't know that, then you got to go back to the basics, get in the Word, and start asking Him. Get in prayer. We make the decision, and then we carry it out according to somebody's will. God's will, our will, Satan's will, I don't know. And Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You know what that means? That means you can't decide to do something out of God's will and then expect God to bail you out. Okay, that's just common language right there. Okay, all that Bible stuff, sometimes you're like, all the these and the thous and stuff. Okay, common language. Jesus, you can't just throw yourself off the cliff and expect God to bail you out. And you know, how many decisions, I'm sitting there thinking back, how many decisions did I make that was going up in flames? You know, it looks good at the beginning, right? And then it starts going up in flames. God save me, I made a bad decision. God, get me out of this. I'll never do that again. You know, you ever pray that prayer? Instead, you should have prayed, God, should I make this decision? That's where you should have prayed. And you do that by knowing who you are and what you're called to do. And then that's what drives all your other decisions. You can't decide to do something out of God's will and expect Him to bail you out. Now, sometimes He's very gracious, and He does because He loves you. But I certainly wouldn't expect it. He tempts your soul through your will. He tries to get you to do something out of God's will. And you have the power to do it. You choose free will. We choose every day. So that's your anointing. See, the first one, I've got through our wants, through our will, through our worship is the next one. But, you know, through our appetite, he challenges our anointing. And then lastly, he charges our allegiance. You know, it starts with A. And then you could say that Satan was trying to, you know, have fame and fortune and food. You know, instant food, instant fame, and instant fortune. You know, there's a lot of messages in here. But Satan will tempt your spirit. See, he attacks your flesh. He attacks your soul. He attacks your spirit. You know, when the Bible said Jesus was tempted in every manner, you know, I don't think it meant he was literally tempted in every single way you could be tempted. I think it's talking about the totality of his being, his spirit, his soul, his flesh. And everything comes under that. But he tempts our spirit through our worship. Look at this. And again, you know, the devil doesn't quit, folks. Again. You know, if he tried three times with the Son of God, who he well knew who he was, you think he's really going to quit on you? I mean, really? Again, the devil took him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, "All these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve." You see, Satan now, he's moved to the spirit, worship. You can only worship God in spirit. Okay? Spirit and in truth. And he's moved to the spirit, and he's now trying to shape Jesus' destiny. He challenged his identity. He challenged how he was anointed, his purpose. And now he's challenging his destiny. His destiny. He says, you see what he's saying? If you bow down to me, I'll give you the whole world. He showed him all the kingdoms. He says, look, I'm the one that put Alexander the Great in charge. I'm the one that's got Caesar in charge. I'm the one that had Nebuchadnezzar in charge. I'm the one that had all the kingdoms of the world. And I can give it to you. And get this. And you don't even have to go to the cross. I bet that was appealing to the flesh. He's saying, I'll give it to you. You don't even have to go to the cross. If you will worship me. In other words, bow down to me and it'll be easier for you. Isn't that what Satan always does? He says, hey, I know what God's word says, but you know, if you do this, it'll just be so much easier. So much easier. And then you do it. Have you ever made that choice? Thought you took the easy way out? And then you got in there and then he pulls the rug out from under you. And now you're crashing and burning. You're like, why did I do that? I thought, you know, it's like a simple thing like a lie. I'm in trouble. And Satan says, well, just tell a lie. You'll get away with it. It's the easy way out. If you face it, man, you're going to face ridicule and punishment. And so you tell the lie. Every one of us has done that. Every one of us has lied to try to get out of trouble. Some point in our life. You may have been 5 years old, but you did it. And then what happened? I remember one time I lied to my parents, and then I really got spanked. I mean, I thought I got spanked before. Because lying's the worst. Don't lie to me. Just own it, you know? If you lie to me, you're just compounding the punishment. But it looks like it's the easy way out. And that's what Satan would have you believe, because he's a deceiver. Understand it. He deceives us into believing it's the easy way out. That's the only reason we picked that choice. Because we believed it. Don't fall for his lies. Stand on the word of truth. Bible says confess your faults. Just own them. Everybody's got them. Nobody's going to look down on you. He who's without sin, cast the first stone. Jesus is the only one that can cast the stone, folks. And at least when he does it, it's righteous. When we do it, it's prideful. You see, Jesus' destiny, his destiny was to die for our sins and restore our relationship with the Father. That was his destiny. He was to die on the cross, rise again in victory over sin and death, and make a way for all of us to have relationship with the Father, that we could be forgiven of our sin. And it took a perfect sacrifice to do that. And he was the sacrifice. And Satan's saying, no, you don't have to sacrifice. You can rule the whole world. You'll be the king of the world. You bow down to me. But you know what? Jesus' destiny was already to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Already, that was his destiny. And this was not going to get him there. You know, God's got a destiny for you. There's something God wants to do in your life. It may be something really big and spectacular. It may be something that maybe in your own eyes is not a very big deal. But if you are in obedience to God, you are going to please Him. And He'll be working through you. Satan has been trying to thwart the Father's plan since the beginning. And boy, you can look around the world and see he's hard at it right now. I mean, it's crazy, right?
Look around.
Yeah. So who's your allegiance to? Now, every one of us would say, well, it's to the Lord. Well, yeah, but what do our actions say sometimes? Is my allegiance to this word or my will? What comes first? You see, your identity determines your anointing, which determines your destiny. It's all related. First, you got to be a child of God. Once you're a child of God, God's got something for you. And then in your pursuit of that, as you seek to serve Him, follow Him, pick up your cross and follow Him, and serve Him in this life, you will get to where God wants you to be, your destiny, whatever that might be. And Satan is attacking you on all three fronts. He's attacking your identity. He's attacking your calling. He's attacking your worship. But in verse 11, Satan flees our presence through God's word. A very comforting verse. Yes, there are battles. There will be confrontation. There's going to be decisions made, and you're going to live with those decisions. But in the end, if you stand for Christ, if you stand on this word, if you seek to serve God the best you know how to do, the devil will leave. He has to. He has to. He can't stand up to God. He can't stand up to God's word. And behold, he says, behold. Behold, take notice. Angels came and ministered to him. And you know what? Anytime we're in a battle, anytime I've been in a spiritual battle, when it's over, yeah, I'm pretty drained usually. But you know what? God ministers to me in some way. I don't know if it's angels or God or, you know, how it, I don't know the dynamics or the specifics of it. But I know that somehow, some way, He does something within me that rejuvenates me and ministers to me. And gets me ready to face the next one. Because there's always a next one, folks. And there's always going to be a next one until he either takes us out of here physically or when we die and we go out soul and spirit, whatever. However, there's always going to be a next one. But he's always going to be there. The key, here's the key to standing up to temptation. James 4:7, I mentioned this last week. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee for you. You know, most people flee from you. Most people know that last part. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. And I've told people that. And then they go, well, how do you resist the devil? Well, that's the first part of the verse. He already told you. You just got to read the whole verse. You submit to this word. You submit to the Holy Spirit working in your life. You submit to God. And as you submit to Him, that is what enables you to resist Satan. Is your submission to God. Because you know, when you submit to what Satan has to say, now you're resisting God. God can't work in your life when you're following Satan. All he can maybe do is try and break you hard. Maybe to be there to pick up the pieces. Because that's what Satan wants to do. You understand that, right? Destroy you. So you take the high road. You know what? I'm going to submit to God. And so if I'm aware of this word and what it says and I'm applying it to my life and I'm applying it to the decisions I make, when Satan comes and says, hey, you ought to go up on the temple and throw yourself off. And Jesus is like, no, I'm totally submitted to my Father. And it's not time for me to start a ministry that way. It's not right for me to tempt God. So I'm not going to do it. And then Satan tried the third time. Said, worship me. Look, I'll make it easy for you. And Jesus said, no, that's not my destiny. That's not my calling. I have come to die for mankind. Pay the price for mankind's sin. And so get out of here. And Satan left him. And he will leave you. He will. He has to. He has to submit to God. Jesus used God's word to defeat Satan's schemes. We must know the word, people. We must know this word. We must submit to this word, and we have to apply this word to our life. What does it say about marriage? What does it say about finances? What does it say about forgiveness? What does it say about bitterness? All those things. All the teaching and much, much more. Mercy. And I mean, we're going to be getting into, you know, I'm going to finish chapter 4 next week. And then we get into chapter 5. And we're going to, John not worthy to untie Jesus' shoes. Now I'm going to try and preach and expound upon the greatest sermon ever preached. Preached in person by the Son of God. That's what's coming, folks. The greatest sermon ever preached. Covering most every issue of life. By the greatest person that's ever lived. And yes, he's a person. He's God, but he's a person. And I'm going to expound on Jesus, whatever. But you know what I am going to do? I'm going to say whatever God would lead me to say. Yeah. You know? That's what it's going to be. And that's going to be good enough. But you gotta be in this word. You gotta know what it says. That's how Jesus fought him off. You got to apply it to your life. And it's not enough to know it. You got to actually do it. Satan said, bow down to me. And you don't have to go to the cross. And Jesus said, Bible says, You worship only the Lord. So in His will, I will not bow. And because of His will, His body did not bow. See how it works? And yeah, he was spent. He was done. But the angels came and ministered to him. It is no coincidence that Satan tempted Jesus in the way that he did. Satan challenged Jesus' identity and his anointing in order to sabotage his destiny. Do you understand? He does the same thing with you. He doesn't want you to believe you're a child of God. He doesn't want you to fulfill the calling that God has laid upon you. He doesn't want you to end up where God would have you be, your destiny. And so he's attacking you in your flesh, in your soul, and in your spirit. He's attacking you through your appetite, through your anointing, through your allegiance. God has made you His child. Get that. I talked about it last week, but I'm talking about it again this week. So important. God has made you His child. God has purpose for you. There is purpose. You are not just created and left to just be on your own the rest of your life. There's a purpose. Maybe you get to impact millions. Maybe you get to impact one. Maybe you just got to be faithful. I don't know what your purpose is. I'm not God. God knows. And He's got something for you that is greater than what you could ever have for yourself. And He has destined you to have great impact for His kingdom. Every one of us, God wants to use to impact this world for Jesus Christ. And He's got a million different ways of accomplishing that. We are all very unique with different gifts, different abilities, different destinies, if you will, different anointings, but all with the same identity. It's all rooted in that. There is a reason for you to be here. There is a reason that God wants to, there's something that God wants to fulfill through you. So study God's Word so that you will not be deceived. Study God's Word so that you will not be deceived. Live out God's Word so that your purpose will be fulfilled. And submit to God alone so that your destiny will be ensured. Listen, you study the Word, you live the Word, and then you just submit to God working in you. Because, you know, the Word has a lot of stuff in it, but to make that, you're not going to find, you know, if you're pondering to move, you're not going to turn to Romans 3:14 and it's going to say, Mike, you need to move. And it's not going to say, Mike, you need to move to, you know, fill in the blank. Okay? It's not going to say that. So yes, you got to study the Word. You got to live out the Word. But in the end, you got to have a relationship with God and be in touch with Him enough that you know when He's saying move, you move. And when He says stay, you stay. That's how you make good decisions. Jesus did it. And you may say, well, I'm not Jesus. No, but you have the same Spirit. You have the same Spirit that lighted on Him. That same Spirit, if you've accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, it's in here. And by that same Spirit, you can do it too. I can do it too. The choice is up to you. It is your will that will determine what you do. There may be someone here today. Well, I'm just going to ask everyone here today, you know, what's your destiny? You know, you got more than one. If you're born again, your destiny eventually is heaven. Your destiny eventually is eternity with our Lord. That's your final destiny. But we have a destiny here too. But right now, I want to talk about that final destiny. There may be someone here today, maybe all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, I don't know about that final destiny part. I don't know. Maybe I got a few doubts. Maybe I've been playing a game. Maybe I've been fooling myself. Listen, it's just as simple as humbling yourself before Almighty God, confessing that you're a sinner, acknowledging you deserve hell, and then asking Him to save you from it. And you know what? He will. He'll forgive you. He'll adopt you. He'll give you His Spirit and a new destiny. Isn't that cool? For free. Costs you nothing. Cost Him everything, but cost you nothing. So there might be some here that they need to change their destiny. For the rest of us, I think it would be safe to say there's a lot of people in our fellowship that are feeling pretty beat up right now. Going through some stuff. Are you resting in the Word? Are you resting in the Spirit? Are you letting God minister to you? Are you staying faithful? I know it's not easy. My heart goes out to you. But know that the Lord that created you, His heart goes out to you too. And He's made a way. Hang on to Him. Don't ever let Him go. Stay faithful in the Word and in prayer. And be mindful, even in what may be a dark time, God still has a purpose for you. There's still a destiny for you. And remember, even as David's great prayer in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because You are with me." And understand that's just a shadow. And the shadow can't hurt you. The shadow just makes it look very dark. But God is the God of the shadow. Remember that. And He knows what the end is. Trust Him. Keep your faith. Don't waver. You have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anyone here today that would say, "Brother Mike, I've realized today that my destiny is not what it ought to be. If I died today, I'd be in trouble. I'd be on my way to hell. And I realize that, and I need to change it. And I'd like prayer about that." Anybody like that? I just want to, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? We'll say you can do something about it this very day. This very day you can. This very moment you can. For the rest of us, is there anybody here to say, "Brother Mike, I've been feeling attacked. Just a lot of things, you know, and I just need prayer." Anybody like that? Just lift your hand up. God bless you guys. Bunch of you. God bless you. I know Satan, maybe he's doing some stuff. Maybe it's just life has just thrown us a curve. who here would say, Brother Mike, I just feel kind of weak and beat up and I need some prayer. Anybody like that? God bless you guys. Amen. How many would say, Brother Mike, I need to rest in the Word and in prayer more. And I realize that today. Pray for me. Anybody like that? God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of fear out here. There's a lot of issues that are behind our smiles, Lord. And Father God, you know every one of them. And Lord, I pray that you would move on hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, that people would turn to you, the God of comfort and peace, the faithful God. We turn to you, Lord, and ask you, Lord, to meet us right at the point of our needs and minister to us, Lord, and give us strength and help us. Help us to remember our identity and our anointing and our destiny, Lord, and help us to live it out and help us not to lose heart and help us, Lord, to just be in your will. Even in the shadows, let us be in your will. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. This is your time. If you need prayer, I don't know what you may need. You come up here. I'll pray with you. We got deacons that will pray with you. If you need comfort, if you just, whatever you need, just, this is your time. As the music plays, this is your time. In the midst of everything, whatever this life throws at us, you are there. And we're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your provision. We're grateful for your great salvation. We're grateful for the comfort that you provide. Grateful for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for your love and faithfulness to us. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.